Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. Should he come in the second or the third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we'll be continuing to read until a week from Wednesday, is written to the Gentiles. It's written to those converts to Christianity from paganism in Ephesus. And in today's reading, St. Paul describes their situation before they heard the gospel. He basically says they were hopeless, precisely because they were going through life without Christ. He said, "You were at that time without Christ, without hope, and without God in the world." The real definition of hopelessness is to be without God. When we are living together with God, no matter what comes, we've got hope because he's risen from the dead. And no matter what hand we're dealt on a given day, we're able to find meaning in it because of the good that the Lord wants to bring out of every situation. But after Christ came into the world, he wanted to help Jew and Gentile both become a new reality, to live with God in the world in such a way that they learn how to live with each other, to live with the saints, learn how to live forever. In this middle paragraph of the three that St. Paul gives us today, he describes God's plan to make us one body, his church, to take Jew and Gentile and form them into one people. It says, he, meaning Christ, made them one, broke down the dividing wall of enmity. What you're supposed to see there is the huge wall in the temple of Jerusalem that separated the court of the Gentile from the court where the Jews could go. And if a Gentile tried to cross into that inner court of the Jews, the penalty was death. This was the wall of enmity. The Jew and Gentile were never to meet. And yet Jesus was going to bring us together. He broke down that dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, establishing peace, reconciling both with God in one body. That's what Jesus' plan is. And once that occurs, what an incredible reality ensues. He tells the Gentiles, "So you're no longer strangers and sojourners. You're no longer wandering alone without God. Rather, you're fellow citizens with the Holy Ones." Think about that reality for a second. What St. Bernadette has, we have. What St. John Paul II, whom we celebrate tomorrow, has, we have. What St. Joseph has, we have. What the Blessed Virgin Mary has, we have. Fellow citizens of the saints. Members of God's household. Not just slaves in God's household. How lucky would be just to be there. But members, family members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. It's through him that the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred to the Lord. In him you're also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Living with God in the world has a purpose, and God wants to build us into that holy temple, not individualistically, but together as a people, to recognize that we're called to be real fellow citizens, family members with each other, Jew and Gentile, Portuguese and French, man and woman, young and old, convert and cradle Catholic. The Lord wants to really form us to be one holy body. But for this to occur, it begins with living with God in the world and allowing that living God to bring about this work in us. Jesus describes how blessed we will be if we do it in today's gospel. He calls us to be faithful and prudent stewards. He'll use that expression tomorrow in the continuation of this gospel passage. Who do what? Who gird our loins and light our lamps. We're always ready to go on the journey as the Jews did when they gird their loins. They tucked up, essentially, their tunics so that they could fly, essentially, so that they could really move. Light their lamps, just like we're waiting anybody to return, vigilant. Like servants who are awaiting their master's advent from a wedding, ready to open up immediately when he comes and knocks. That we're that prompt in our vigilance. Jesus says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Should he come in the second or third watch? Should he come, in other words, between 9 and 12 p.m. or 12 and 3 a.m. and find them prepared in this way? Blessed are those servants. You know, Jesus singles out people who are waiting for him between 9 and 12 and 12 and 3. Have you ever thought about taking adoration at those times? Blessed will you be when you're vigilant for the Lord at those times. There are other times where we can keep that vigilance, but there's a special blessing Jesus himself mentions here. When we're fighting off sleep, when we're saying, Jesus, you're more important than my getting my 8 hours. You're worth getting up for immediately. In the middle of the night. Jesus wants to bless us in that way. But he'll go on tomorrow and say, not all of us live that way. There are a lot of us who say, as we'll hear, my master's long delayed. He's not here. And so go about, the person he's going to describe goes about saying that my master's not here. Therefore, he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk. That's real hopelessness. When somebody by choice forgets God and starts to live in a way that isn't the way citizens of the Holy Ones live, that isn't the way that members of God's household lives. But Jesus wants to give us all the help he knows we need in order to live this way. What do we call this in Christian piety? We call this presence of God. That we have a lively awareness that God is with us in the world. And that we stoke that awareness by constantly overcoming our fallen nature through aspirations and other means to remember that God is present. You know, there are a lot of ways to do that. First is aspirations, where we're constantly praying words like, stay with us, Lord. Lord, I know that you're here. Help me, Lord. Several times an hour where we're just conscious of the fact that nothing we're doing alone, but that he's with us, and that changes everything. We're able to look on things in different ways. Every time we cross through a door, we remember that Christ said, I am the gate. And in order to enter into the Father's sheepfold, we need to enter into him. Every door we enter can be a reminder of God. Every light that we ever see on can be a reminder of Jesus, the light of the world. Every staircase we ever take, as we're going on up, we can be asking the Lord to strengthen us in the descent to heaven. As we're going down a staircase, we can be begging the Lord to help us to grow in real humility so that we'll be able to bend down and serve others like he himself serves. Every time we look at our watch, we can recognize that all time is given to us by God, and that he's with us every millisecond of the way in order to try to accompany us into eternity. Every time we see a married couple, we can remember how Jesus has married us. Every time we see a priest, we can remember that Christ is constantly trying to help us to offer ourselves to God. Every time we see a woman religious, we can remember that God wants to espouse us to him forever in the eternal wedding banquet. I can go on and on and on. We can use almost everything is a reminder for us that God is with us. Today, Jesus wants to give us those graces to help us to remember that He will be with us always until the end of the world. He created the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist so that it wouldn't just be a conceptual reality, but so that we would be able to come into substantial communion with God Himself with us every day in the world. Jesus promised in today's Gospel that if He found us vigilant, if He found us conscious of His presence, and what brings us here, if not that we're aware that Jesus is coming down on earth, and this is the most important thing we could ever do on October 21st, 2014. Jesus promised that if we were aware, He would have us sit down and that He would prepare and start to serve us. What an incredible gift. That's what He did at the Last Supper, where He girded His own apron and bent down and washed the feet of the apostles. That's what Jesus does at every Mass. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us forever in that eternal banquet in the household of God in communion with all the saints. Today, let us let the Lord do that service. And let us never forget that that service never stops. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.